Praise the Lord for that good singing. Good to see everybody on this Wednesday night. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 13, is where we'll be tonight. In this Passion Week, coming up to Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday, coming up here and then celebrating this coming Sunday, the resurrection of our Savior. Looking forward to that. I'll say more about that here in a minute, but for the service that day, if you would, do your best to try to invite a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, a family member. I've put the word out to several of my family members that aren't too far away. They're in the Commerce area, and really praying that they would come out, and just a great opportunity for us to reach out to them. We don't have necessarily specific invitations that are necessarily Easter invitations, but we do have our tracts that says, "Be our guest this Sunday," so that would definitely work. This Sunday is every Sunday to us, but it could work as an Easter tract. Come be our guest this Sunday. And then the fellowship we'll have at 10:30. Be sure to let them know that, to come early for some coffee and donuts. And I know they will, I think they'll appreciate that. And so just be praying for those services. Your team leaders will be saying more about that here in just a moment. Praise the Lord. We're expecting God to do some wonderful things. You can tell the foyer is coming along. We've gotten the paint in, so that's a blessing. And now we'll be adding some pieces of decor here in the next several weeks and even next couple of months. We do have some pew chairs that I'll be explaining to you. I'll bring that before business meeting. But it's going to enable us to have more seating when needed. We could keep them there if we decide to on a more permanent basis. We'll see how that goes. But they'll be able to be moved out, transported very easily. So that's a possibility. The reason we can't get them any sooner is because the fabric color that we wanted was on backstock until June. So we could have gotten the same chair, but it would have been a different fabric, and the fabric would have worked. It was like a dark gray. I mean, I guess it could have worked, but it just wasn't as good as the other one the ladies had picked out. And so I said, no, let's just wait. It'd be better to get exactly what looks best for our foyer and just wait on the right thing. And so that's what we're going to do, but we got a world map that'll be coming. I'm really excited about that, that we'll be putting up on the back wall. And then we're going to be putting what we'll call our connect table, where I'll be connecting with first-time visitors back there behind the sound booth by the window. We're going to put our screen up back there. Catty corner screen is what we're looking at doing, and what we'll have our missionaries going across that continually. And then also when we have after the service, we'll display the connect table. So several things going to be coming into place here, and just continue praying about that. Also, please, this is something to very seriously pray about. This weekend, we're going to be relocating the sound booth back to its new home in the foyer where Brother Mark is. And we're going to get those, that some of that can be kind of technical. So Brother Mike Swafford and several others are going to be helping with that. They'll probably be doing it on Saturday. So just pray that will go smoothly and that those men will not be electrocuted, okay? That's what we don't want, that right before Easter, all right? But that's what we're doing. Thank you for praying about that. Well, we will break up in small groups. I want to do something a little different tonight. After I give the Bible challenge for tonight, I'd like to just take the teenagers and just take them and pray with them. We're going to start beginning to pray around the youth conference. I want to give them some more details of what we're looking at doing. But the rest of you will break up in your normal small groups. We're not going to be practicing as much tonight as we are just spending time in prayer over the Easter service coming up, over the outreach that is continually going out, that we've gotten over 1,200 door hangers out now, praying God's blessings upon them, and also over the Teen Revival Conference, of course, coming up at the end of this month. And I'll mention some more prayer requests about that. here in just a minute. But lots of things to be praying about, and so we want to make sure that we spend ample time and asking the Lord to help us. Well, there in John chapter 13, I'll begin reading in verse 1. I thought it to be appropriate to be here tonight. The Lord, I was asking the Lord to just how we would be able to profit from this week, and just thinking about the scenes and the acts that were going on at this time, the scenes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ leading up to His death. And we see here in John chapter 13 a passage that is not recorded in the other Gospels. This scene here is unique to the Gospel of John. We see the accounts surrounding this scene, and we'll speak of that here in just a minute, but this is unique to the evangelist John here. And the Bible says in chapter 13, verse 1, "Now therefore the feast of the Passover..." Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God. Verse 4, "He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself." Let's pray together. Father, I do want to thank You and praise You for the Wednesday night service. I thank You, Lord, for the faithfulness of Your people. Just been working all day in school and different things. Lord, there's probably 100 things that we all could be doing, but Lord, I'm thankful that we know that it's the most important thing to be in Your house, to be among Your people, and to hear Your Word. And we understand the great importance of prayer. Oh God, would You strengthen us in that and help us to continually grow in that great knowledge of the understanding of prayer. And so now, Lord, we commit this Bible study to You and ask that You would have Your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we see here a scene that really is a parable acted out by the Lord Jesus Himself. He lives a parable that He is going to teach these disciples that had a great lesson to learn in this time in their life. And the Lord Jesus, perfect in all and all His ways, gives a perfect illustration of how we can be the servants we need to be. And He taught them that. You'll understand the context here if you go back to a passage in Luke chapter 22, but for the sake of time we won't, but there was a dispute. There was a big argument going on among the disciples that were going on during this Passover meal, the Last Supper, also called, because it is indeed the Last Supper that the Lord Jesus would partake with the disciples there while in His earthly ministry. And so this is the Last Supper, and during that time as they arrived, there had been an argument. You know, sometimes you guys with teenagers, you still hear it, arguing on who gets what and why they think they should get it and all the different reasons. Well, to be honest with you, that's a very similar scene that's going on right here. Because you'll remember, these disciples were under the impression they were still under the impression that the kingdom was going to be set up. They were still under the impression that the Lord Jesus was just only preparing within days of setting up His kingdom. And He had told them that they would be a part of setting up that kingdom, and they would be a part of judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and they would be able to participate in that. But what they did not realize is that was not yet to come. He first had to do the will of His Father, which was indeed going to the cross of Calvary. And they're going to learn a lesson here. And so at that time, as they were arriving at this supper, it is very clear in Scripture that with that thought of the kingdom in mind, okay, who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who is that's going to be the most popular? Who is that that's going to be the most desired or the strongest leader among all of them? And the Lord Jesus humbles them. And while they were disputing and arguing over this, there was something that was missing. You see, it was traditional and very common that when you go into a scene of this nature of enjoying a supper together, the Last Supper and a Passover meal, it was common for the feet to be washed among coming in from the streets. I can understand that so clearly because of my time in Niger. I hardly ever wore a pair of shoes in Niger. I always wore sandals and flip-flops because of the heat. And every single night I came in, I could not believe how filthy my feet were. And I want to tell you something too. The streets of Agadez, Niger were the furthest from being clean. Most people allowed their sewage to drain into the streets. And I'm sure around the city of Jerusalem and different areas was the same scene. And so the feet were very unclean. And so coming upon this, they're all in there at the supper, and they're arguing about who's the greatest. And the Lord Jesus, who is in their presence, who is in the center at the table, is sitting there listening to this. Listening to the bickering and listening to the nonsense about who would be the greatest. So while they're jabbering around away in their mouths and arguing, no, I'm going to be the greatest. Peter, you shut up. I'm going to be greater. You know, they're going on about this. Guess what? The Lord Himself, who is reclined at the table, who got up from the supper table, and while they're arguing, I'm sure they're all starting to silence down about this time, He walks over, and the Bible says here in verse 4, He rises from supper and laid aside His garments. That is the outer coat, the robe that He had there, that was very common in this custom and in this culture, that when it was a time to work, the outer garment that would hinder something baggy and that would hinder working with your hands, it would easily be laid aside. And it was also a sign of serving. And that's exactly what the Lord was doing. He laid aside that outer garment. And then the Bible says He girt about Himself. He girt about Himself a towel. And that was representative of a servant. And not only just any servant, but a slave. And what an example He is pouring in. And then He's going to go ahead and give them a perfect demonstration of what it means to do the most important thing on earth. What it means to be the greatest. You know, I read one commentary that said these disciples were fighting over a throne when they should have been fighting over a towel. And the Lord Jesus was going to demonstrate to them exactly what needed to be done. And He did. But it's interesting to what the Word of God says there. What the Word of God says there in our very first verse, He says He knew His hour had come and that He would depart from this world. And it says that He would go into the Father. And that word there, depart out of, carries the idea of going into another sphere. And He was indeed going to another sphere. He was be going back to the heavenlies, back to His eternal home, there to sit at the right hand of the Father. And that's where He did go, and that's what He was talking about going. But notice what it says here. He says that the hour He should depart, but it says, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Now, we see that He's going to be with the Father, but notice what we see added there, John, saying that He, having loved His own, those were His disciples, those were His children. Those were the ones that He loved dearly. And that word there, He loved them unto the end. That end carries is not where it was where it was finished. It carries the idea of to the uttermost, to the extreme, to as much as possible. And I want to tell you, if God loves you as much as possible, you can't get any greater than that. And that's the love that was demonstrated. But what's so wonderful about this truth is that Jesus is teaching His disciples, and something I hope that we can learn from in our walk with the Lord is this. The greatest way that you can demonstrate your love for someone is how you will serve them. You understand that, church? The greatest way that we demonstrate our love to someone is how we can serve them. Husbands, you want to show how much you love your wives? You serve them. Wives, you want to know how much you can, how you can show your love to your husbands? You serve them. Children, teens, and here you want to show your love to your mother and your father and those that are in your home? You serve them. And do you know what kind of rights a servant claims? It's quiet in here, folks. But it's the truth, isn't it? How many rights does a servant have? Zero. In this culture, in this mentality, a servant has no rights. And so, what is he saying here? That listen, we don't go through a life, if you want to be a servant, you don't go in life with an entitlement mentality. Jesus, of all people, has given the perfect example. If anybody deserved to be made known and the glory shown upon Him at this time, it would have been Him, but it didn't. And it's interesting to me, church, that the Bible says that He knew His time. Oh my. To me, in my mind, boy, when you see the verse there, it says, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He would depart out of this world. It's like, all right, the Lord Jesus, He knew the Calvary was right over the hill. It was coming. He was leaving this sin-cursed earth. He was leaving these people that had been cursing Him out and ridiculing Him and betraying Him and denying Him. He was leaving that sin-cursed world and He was going back to be with the Father. He was going back to receive all the glory from the angels, from all eternity. He was going back. And if there was any time for the trumpets to be playing and for Him to, for someone to think in our human thinking that, boy, it was time to give recognition and time to celebrate, that's not what Jesus thought. He says, you know what? I'm leaving and I love you. I love you, He says to the disciples. He loved them unto the end, to the uttermost. And the way He was going to show that, He was going to leave. He was going to show that by serving them. And that's exactly what He did. It says He washed their feet. It said that He rises from the supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. And of course, we know Peter goes on to say that, no, Master, no, not I. And the lesson that goes on there. But one of the things that I want us to grab a hold of tonight is that even as a servant here, we see in the Word of God that the picture of a servant has no position, has no honor in that time. But here's the Son of God who had the greatest honor, who had the greatest position of all eternity, lowered Himself and pictured Himself as a nobody, as a slave. What a rebuke it was to these disciples, I'm sure, and teaching them that it was time to serve one another. You know, really, when you look at this, and I've seen this in my own life, but what it was is these disciples were struggling with something, and it was something called insecurity. They were insecure about themselves, about who would be the greatest, and they were taking time to try to prove of why they were the greatest. And there was an insecurity about them, and it caused them to be prideful, which insecurity is a form of pride. You're afraid for people to see you for who you truly are or for who you need to be because you're afraid of what they will think of you. And it's a form of pride. And they too were struggling with this. You know, I had a thought also about this fact that the Lord Jesus, when in the very first verse, you notice it says, Jesus knew where He came from. All the glory. The Most High God. From all eternity. He knew where He came from. And He knew who He's with. And He knew where He was going. And through that, brought a confidence. There was a complete confidence in what Jesus Christ knew He was. And through that confidence, what did that result in? It resulted in a spirit of being a servant. The servant spirit that we see upon the Lord Jesus. And church, I want to leave you with this. Let's go with the same thinking. Let's remember tonight, as we remember our Savior, let's remember where we've come from. Let's remember where we've come from. Where have we come from? We've come from the slave market of sin. Bondage. Children of wrath. Servants of the devil. That's what the Word of God calls us, those that are all before you're born again. And that is what we are coming from. We are coming from a life that was destined for an eternal damnation. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, we now have a home in heaven. And I want to tell you what, if we really let that sink in, I believe this, we will be the servants we need to be. Nobody owes me anything. Nobody owes me anything because I am only a servant of the Most High God. I am a slave to the Lord God. And I'm thankful. I told the teenagers this one night. I said, listen, don't let that word being a slave scare you. Because it should scare you if you have an unjust master. Those are the ones you needed to be afraid of. And slavery. Those that were unfair and unjust and cruel. But I want to tell you, it's the opposite of our Master. He is just. He is perfect. He is holy. He is gentle. He is kind. He is forgiving. He is loving. He is gracious. He's merciful. That's my Master. And I want to tell you right now, I'm thankful to be a slave to the Most High God, the Master King Jesus. Because I know how He treats His servants. And it's beautiful and it's perfect. What a blessing it is to be a slave of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What a place to be thankful for. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes we can get in, and I feel like in my life, get to where I think people owe me stuff and owe me things and wait on me. But I'm telling you what, that's not what the Lord Jesus tells us. He tells us to serve Him, number one, and then serve others. Don't go through life with a mentality. You know, I believe that the ultimate cure for conceit is to consider yourself a slave. I do believe that. The ultimate cure for conceit is to consider yourself a slave. A slave of Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that you are a person that you make yourself vulnerable to abuse? No, I'm not saying that at all. God gives guidelines for that. But what I mean by is that a slave is that you are a slave to Jesus Christ. And you are a servant to Him. And through that, you are a servant to others. And let the Lord use that in our lives as we go out for His glory. What a wonderful lesson that He would teach. That first lesson after He realized and He said that He knew His time had come. The very first lesson that He would teach those disciples, and it stands out to me, is that how they should serve. And how should they put others before themselves. And you know, I do believe also that we are doing that not only amongst each other, but I believe this, church, I believe that the greatest way that we can serve these folks out here that we don't even know, I believe the greatest way we can serve them is to take them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think about that. And let's all admit here. Going out there, we're not going out there to claim who's the greatest. It takes a servant. I believe in my heart, I believe it takes a servant to go out and to tell people about Christ. Why? Why? It's because you are stepping out of your comfort zone. You are stepping out of your comfort zone where you have what you need, your needs, and you're placing yourself, and you are, in essence, making yourself vulnerable to other people, either to be rebuked or to be ridiculed, to be treated badly in some way. You know, that you're making yourself vulnerable, but what are you actually doing? You are going, they may not even realize this, but this is what you're doing. You're doing the same thing Jesus Christ did when He came from glory. He came and humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's exactly what we're going to do in our lifetime. If you're going to reach people with the gospel, church, if I'm going to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I am going to continually have to live in a state of humility. As Peter calls it, I must clothe myself with humility. We don't have time to go there, but that is the only time that Greek word for clothed is used in the whole New Testament. And do you know what it means? It means actually taking that same garment that Jesus girt about Himself, that same exact garment, and it is saying, clothe yourself with that. And do you think that maybe Peter had in mind that scene at the Last Supper when he wrote 1 Peter 5:5? Do you think maybe that was going through his mind when Peter told those Jews, look, you need to clothe yourself with humility? Can I say this? Can I just put it in terms that it's a translation? It's a Brinson translation, okay? Put on your slave garments. Put on your slave garments. And be clothed with humility. And boy, I want to tell you, we will see, I believe with all my heart, church, I believe we'll see great revival take place in our families, our homes, in this church right here, when we get a hold of that truth and we live that truth. That we humble ourselves. As Jesus showed us by washing those disciples' feet. Listen, that was not a church ordinance. Now, if you want to bring a bowl in here and wash each other's feet, y'all can, that's fine. But it's not a church ordinance, okay? It was just an example, a lesson, a parable that Jesus was teaching those disciples. And tonight as we go to prayer, let's pray that Lord would help us be the servants we need to be to each other and to Him ultimately and then to our community as we are used of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your example. Lord Jesus, thank You for what You showed us there at the Last Supper, just hours before Your cruel crucifixion, what You would endure for us. Lord, You have served us. And Lord, we want to serve You. We want to serve each other. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that You would help us in our church to have the spirit of humility, that we would be clothed with it, that we would gird about our slave robes, our slave towels to each other in the name of Jesus Christ and serve one another, not expecting anything in return, not expecting anybody to owe us a thing, but to serve You, Lord. I do pray that You would help us with that. And I pray that in Jesus' precious name, amen.